How you doing? Good.
How are you?
We're just talking about stress
And the physical side effects of it,
Yeah.
how it affects us.
So, how are we doing with the stress? How are we man what tools are you using to manage?
I've been watching two Hallmark Christmas movies a day, or maybe three. It's working. It really is.
I love that. I love it. Love it. What about you, Rachel?
For stress, I have a yoga that I like to do that is particular for stress and an overactive nervous system. So that's probably the thing I use the most. And then, tempo is pretty good stress reliever. And, yeah, movies are good. I usually like, if I'm really stressed, I'll go to like a comedy or something, to kind of lift my spirits. But there's nothing wrong with some Christmas movies in July from Hallmark Channel.
So when's the last time you did your yoga?
I actually earlier today.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And did you notice a difference after you had done
Oh
it?
yeah. And the cool thing about the yoga is she has you sit first and breathe and do some special breathing to kind of calm you down, and then you go into the sequence, and then at the end you sit again, and she asks like, "Do you feel any different?" So yeah, she gives you that time in the yoga. So I always feel different.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So Gail had was live on the manifesting workshop, and you were able to attend the Q&A last night. Did you get to listen to the workshop itself?
Yeah.
Okay. And nobody did the questions and sent them to me. The essay questions, not one person. So,
Really?
yeah, nobody did. I'm kind of not surprised because they are essay questions, and but they're designed, it's not for me. It was for the participant to get clear on what they took in and what they didn't, because then they would have, then you would know if you had questions on what was discussed and what was presented. So I want to ask both of you, you don't have to send them to me, but I want to ask both of you to do those, answer those questions. And if you can only do one a day, that's okay. 'Cause, like I say, they're at essay questions, but in theory, 30 minutes, you should be able to do it. if you have 30 minutes that you can, sit and focus what I had asked was that you explain it to me, like I was the one who needed the help. And how would you explain it to me to help me? To help me understand what I needed to do and how to manage my own energy. That was because when you're teaching somebody else, that's when if you have any uncertainty, it's right there in your face. And it really helps us to decide what do we believe and how do we feel. And that's what I love about doing the classes, all of them, doesn't matter what it is. I'm deciding on how do I think and how do I feel and what does this mean? Am I using it or not? And if I'm not, why not? Because, I'm human too. And there are times I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a tool I've had forever and I'm not using it. What the heck? So.
I feel like I go in and out of tools as well. Like sometimes one thing speaks to me a lot during a particular time and then it falls off or something and I pick something else up and then that goes for a while and then I might go back to the other thing or pick something else up. So I do feel like there's a flow, an ebb and a flow kind of to what's working at that time.
Yeah,
I
that's a
do
great
the
way
same
to
thing with
describe it.
music too, which I find interesting. Like sometimes I'm like only country. Or only like the rock that I grew up on, or only hip hop. So I think there is something for me that's very like cyclical or something.
Well, we're always evolving, and something that works or that we enjoy doing today is, tomorrow it may be different. So, being aware of that and listening, to what works best is good. But what's frustrating, I guess, is to have a tool that would have worked perfectly and just spaced using it, or it wasn't immediate. Instead, it was 3 hours or 2 days later. I mean, I've had some things happen, well, January and February this year that were, now I don't even remember what it was, but really upsetting, and being upset about it. And oh, I remember what they were, one of them was now.
Was that Landon's dog bite?
One of them was Landon's dog bite, and the guilt at not being there to support Jesse. And it took me like 2 days, I think, to get a grip on that. And now, here we are 8 months later, 7 months later. I hope I would like to think that I'd be able to get a grip on that within minutes, instead of it taking a couple of days. At least I want to believe that, because being aware of what our energy is, that's key to what we're doing and who we want to be and the energy we want to put out. And I guess there's something in the air here again. With the humidity so high, I even asked Google. I said, "Does that make more phlegm happen in your body?" Because I'm always clearing my throat. I am so sick of clearing my throat. And it said yes. It said yes. You can do that. So I guess I need to, whatever my body needs to overcome that, we need to work on it. So, is there anything that you wanted to talk about specifically this evening that's come up for you that you need support with? I do have a video that I would like to share with you if we have time to do it. And it's 26 and a half minutes long.
I don't have any questions currently.
If we do the video, there's probably going to be questions afterwards.
I'm thinking yes. Okay, so if you're ready to watch that, we will do it. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna turn my video off and I am going to share my screen. If I can find it. Now this is on Gaia, and it's one of Dr. Joe Dispenza's videos.
Is it possible that your subjective mind has an effect on the objective world? Is it true that mind and matter are so intimately connected that it's impossible to separate the two? If that is true, how can you use this information to not only change your body, but to change your life? I'm your host, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and in the previous episode, we went into depth on the understanding of the placebo effect. In this episode, we're going to discover the quantum model of reality. What you're about to learn may open the door to show you how your thoughts literally affect matter, that your thoughts matter. Let's begin. Much of what we understood about the physics of the nature of reality before the 1900s was categorized under the concept of Newtonian physics, or what we call classical physics. Now think of classical physics, or Newtonian physics, as the physics of the predictable. And when Newton had his realization when the apple fell from the tree, the realization basically said, things are moving in a smooth and continuous fashion, and when the apple falls from the tree, as long as I know the distance it's falling, I can determine how long it's going to take to land. And because of Newtonian physics, we can shoot a rocket to the moon with accuracy. You'll know the exact time it takes for you to travel from Los Angeles to London. We can determine then the trajectory of planets rotating around the sun. And because of Newtonian physics, we have enough understanding to be able to navigate in our three-dimensional world. So think of Newtonian physics as the physics of the predictable or the physics of the very large. Now, at the turn of the 19th century, Albert Einstein and Max Planck began to study the subatomic world. And what they were interested in doing was, just like an apple falling from a tree, they wanted to begin to disturb the electrons that were existing around the nucleus of the atom. And all of us have seen that classical model of the atom, where you have the atom being like the sun, and you have all these electrons rotating around it. And that was the model that was existing up until that point. When they began to disturb that electron and add energy to it, they expected that the electron would move towards the center of gravity, towards the nucleus of the atom, just like an apple falling from the tree, that it would fall in a very smooth and continuous fashion, very predictable way. But what they discovered is that the subatomic world of those electrons behaved very differently than the very large world of apples falling from trees. The electron would gain energy and lose energy. Then it would gain energy and lose energy. And instead of it falling from the tree in a smooth, continuous way, like rolling down a hill, it was more like a ball dropping down stairs, gaining energy, losing energy, gaining energy, losing energy. And they realized that the subatomic world no longer behaved like the large world. So then they began to try to measure the electron. And what they discovered was that that model of classical physics, where it said the nucleus of the atom was like the sun and the planets rotating around it, isn't actually the truth. The way it really is that there's a nucleus, and then there's a cloud of energy called the wave. And in that cloud of energy, the electron could exist anywhere. Now, let me give you an example. If you blew up the nucleus of the atom to the size of a Volkswagen bug, the electron would be the size of a pea. Now, where that electron could exist would be the size of the state of Utah, or twice the size the country of Cuba. Now, there's a lot of possibility of where that electron could be. When the field of probability is existing, the electron exists as possibility or potential. So when they began to measure the electron, they began to look for it, all of a sudden, that energy collapsed into a particle called collapsing the wave function, or a quantum event. Subjective mind, for the first time, had an effect on the objective world, and the observer effect was born. Now, here's the cool part. The moment they took their attention off the electron and they no longer put their awareness on it, that electron, that particle, turned back into energy and turned back into possibility. Now, you may say, well, yes, that observer effect, mind and matter, are intimately related on a subatomic level, but does it really affect our life in large-scale events? Does the observer effect only work for the tiny and not for the large? Well, maybe we're just poor observers, and maybe we can learn how to sharpen our skill of observation. So before we go any further, let's talk about the definition of the quantum field. Think of the quantum field as an invisible field of energy that exists beyond this space and time. There are no people there, there are no things, there's no place to go, there isn't even time. It's one infinite field of energy and information that has nothing physical or material, and you can experience the quantum field with your senses. So quantum physicists, for almost 100 years, have been trying to understand this unifying field. And in fact, they've given the name to the quantum field as the unified field. And they're interested in studying the mathematics of unifying all the forces that begin to cause order in our three-dimensional world. Think about the Big Bang. After the Big Bang, after that explosion, there was tremendous amount of order that was created after that explosion. If you observed an explosion that took place in this three-dimensional reality, there's typically disorder. And after the Big Bang, we have order, some unifying field, some intelligence that's governing the nature of reality. So then, what are the forces then that begin to unify all of these different elements to create such order? Quantum physicists have come up with all different theories to begin to understand with the mathematics how all this energy works to create such order. So think of the unified field as an invisible field of energy that connects and organizes everything physical. We've talked in previous episodes about living by the hormones of stress. And when we're under the gun of the fight or flight nervous system and the brain and body are aroused, the very chemicals of stress heighten our senses and we become materialists, perceiving our world in three-dimensional reality. So then when we feel the chemicals of stress and we're living as matter, local in space and time, then we feel separate from everything material or physical. So think about the three-dimensional reality is giving us the illusion of everything separate. In the unified field, the quantum field, the zero-point field, that universal energy that's governing and creating order in all of three-dimensional reality, that energy has nothing to do with separation. We would say that this energy is about connection, and everything in the material world is interacting with each other in terms of energy. So the physical reality we experience with our senses. If we can't see our dreams, we can't smell them, we can't hear them, we can't feel them, we can't taste them, they don't exist for us. But the quantum model of reality is a reality that exists beyond our senses. You can only experience it with your awareness. So then three-dimensional reality has everything that's material, has height and depth and width. The quantum field is made of energy, frequency, vibration, information, consciousness. It's the realm of thought. So then, if we're matter trying to change matter, it will always take time for us to manifest reality. Why? Because we live in a realm where there's an infinite amount of space. And we experience time by moving through space. And so here I am, Joe Dispenza, one point of consciousness, one point of awareness, and then I have my attention on another point of consciousness. Let's say my car. So if I want to go from one point of awareness to another point of awareness, I would have to move my body through space. And when I move my body through space, it takes time. So then based on my experience of the past and how fast I walk, I can determine about how long it's going to take me to get from one point to another point. So then here's me, Joe Dispenza, and then here's my dreams way over there. And most people then begin to try to predict when their dreams are going to come true. So they do that based on their past experience of linear time. So then their dreams are way out there, and now they have to move their body through space, matter to matter, every single day to arrive at their dreams. And of course, it takes time to do that. So if reality is both a particle and a wave, if it's both matter and energy, and we're functioning in this three-dimensional world and all of our attention is on everything material, and we understood from previous episodes that if you're living in the familiar past or you're living in the predictable future, then for the most part, you're living in the known. Now that sweet spot of the generous present moment is called the unknown. And that unknown is where all possibilities exist. Now let's demystify the quantum field. If you took away all the people, all the objects, all the places, you took away the sun, you took away the earth, the moon, the planets, the stars, the light from the stars, the galaxies, you took away everything material, what would you be left with? An infinite void of anything physical or material. And that fertile void, just because you can't see something, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And that fertile void is filled with possibilities, filled with unknown experiences. So then how do we get from the known to the unknown? How do we get from the material world to the immaterial world? How do we get from the world of the senses to the world beyond the senses? How do we move from the world of the predictable to the world of the unpredictable? How do we move from three-dimensional reality into other dimensions or other realities? And I want to talk to you about the formula that allows you to get there. So in other episodes, we talked briefly about getting beyond the self, that most people spend the majority of their life living in separation instead of living in connection. And because they're feeling local in space and time as a body, then they're using their body to begin to create outcomes in their life. They'll spend the majority of their life developing an identity that's connected to knowing someone, to living somewhere, to owning certain things and living in certain places at certain times. And this becomes the autobiographical self that is stored in the thinking neocortex. So then when a person goes from a narrow focus to a broad focus, and they take their attention off of everything material, and they begin to open their awareness not to matter, but broadening their focus and tuning into energy or information or nothing material, the act of opening their awareness allows them to begin to change their brainwaves. And you learn then that if you do this properly, as you slow your brainwaves down, you begin to get beyond the analytical mind. And if you're not thinking about anybody, if you're not feeling the pain in your body, if you're not thinking about checking your text, if you're not thinking about where you need to go or where you're sitting or how much time you have, you would begin to no longer activate the circuits in your autobiographical thinking brain that has everything to do with everything known in your life. And as you begin to suppress this part of your brain, the seat of your identity, your personality, and you slow your brain waves down, as you do that and you begin to tune into energy, that unifying field, its signature is oneness or wholeness or greater levels of order or connection. And as you begin to become aware of it and put your attention on it, and as you begin to sense the vastness of that empty void, as you begin to focus on nothing but energy, if you can begin to keep your attention on it, it will begin to create more order or more coherence in your brain. So not only do you change your brain waves, but as you learned, you create more order and more coherence because the brain's attention is on something that's highly orderly. And we could say that the moment you take your attention off your body, you go from a somebody to a nobody. The moment you take your attention off your identity that's connected to certain people and certain things or times and places, you will become no one, in nothing, in nowhere, in no time. And that is the moment you become pure consciousness and you disconnect from everything known in your three-dimensional reality. And we could say then, if you're no longer in the familiar past or the predictable future, you are falling into the eternal now. And according to the quantum model of reality, all possibilities exist in the eternal now. That means then, in the now, you're no longer in the known. Now you're in the unknown, and that's where all possibilities exist. So to get beyond yourself then, means you have to become pure consciousness. Now I've been saying, if where you place your attention is where you place your energy, and you take all of your attention off everything material, and you began to become nobody, no one, no thing, nowhere, and no time, and you became pure consciousness, what if then you allowed yourself as an awareness to stay in the unknown? If you can linger without a name, without a face, without a gender, without your pain, without your disease, without all the relationships you have, without your past or your predictable future, it makes sense then that the longer you linger in the unknown, where all possibilities exist, by very theory, the more you would create new possibilities in your life. So then, just like in the quantum physics experiments, where they were observing the electron, and the electron went from a cloud of possibilities, the wave function, and it collapsed into a particle, all of a sudden, when they turned their back and no longer looked or observed the electron, it turned into possibility. It's possible then that when you disconnect from everything known in your life, and you're no longer observing your life from the same level of mind, that your life can turn into possibilities, just like the electron turns into possibilities. Now, getting to the present moment is the work. The moment you start noticing that your attention is going to memories of the past that are connected to certain emotions in your meditation, that's the habit of how you've been thinking up until this point. And you have to break that habit, which means that you have to return your attention back into the present moment and unfold as an awareness back into possibility. And every time you do that, that's a victory. When you start to notice that you want to get up and quit, and you settle it back down into the present moment and you unfold back into possibilities, that means then you're telling your body that it's no longer the mind, and you're executing a will that's greater than the program. And if you keep doing that over and over again, the body will begin to surrender into the present moment, just like training an animal. Once it finally can surrender into the present moment, if where you place your attention is where you place your energy, and all of your attention and energy is in the present moment, you have a lot of energy to do amazing things. So then all those possibilities that exist in the quantum field exist as electromagnetic possibilities. They exist as frequencies that you have to begin to connect to. So then what are the ingredients that allow us to tune into those potentials that already exist in the quantum field? Well, it requires two things: a coherent brain, that is a clear intention, and an elevated heartfelt emotion. That is what begins to open our hearts and creates coherence in our heart. So then if you are disintegrated in your brain and that you have incoherence in your brain and you haven't trained your heart to begin to become more orderly and produce a powerful magnetic signature, then you can't read information or broadcast frequencies into the field. In a sense, then, you're on the wrong radio station. And the more coherent your brain is, the more coherent your heart is, the more you can tune into those potentials. Now, let's demystify the process. So many people spend their entire life creating in lack. They see something that they want, like a new car or a new wardrobe, and they notice that they don't have it. And when they notice that they don't have it, they experience separation or lack. So what they start to do is they start thinking about having that car, they close their eyes, and in a period of time, they start seeing themselves actually driving the car. But when they open their eyes and they realize that the car hasn't manifested, they start experiencing more lack, so then they try harder to get it. And how do they try? They force, they wish, they control, because they're matter trying to change matter. Once you begin to open your heart, once energy makes it to this center right here, this is our connection to the unified field. This is the center we create from. This is the center of wholeness or oneness. This is where our divinity begins. This is the union of polarity or the union of opposites. And once energy makes it to this center, all of a sudden, like dropping pebble after pebble after pebble into water, it begins to create a resonant magnetic field. And that field can be up to 3 meters wide. Now you're starting to open up and become more energy and less matter, more wave and less particle. And now once energy makes it here, that energy can carry information or a thought or intention. And you can begin to lay the thought on that energy because that energy is consistent with your healing. That energy is consistent with your new dream. The energy is consistent with your new job or your new relationship. That energy can carry the thought of your dreams. The energy of suffering can't carry the thought of your wealth because it's not consistent with that energy. So then when you begin to open your heart and you raise your energy and you begin to lay the thought on it, think of the thought as the electrical charge in the quantum field. And think of the feeling as the magnetic charge in the quantum field. And how you think and how you feel begins to broadcast new energy and new information into the field. And for whatever you broadcast into the field is your experiment with destiny. So then when you get really good at creating brain coherence and heart coherence, and you know how to elevate your emotional state, and you begin to feel the emotion of your future before it's made manifest, then you're no longer living in lack. You feel like your dream has already happened. So then when there's a vibrational match between your energy and a potential that already exists in the quantum field. Now you no longer have to go anywhere to get your dreams. Now you are connected to that field of information that's connected to everything material. And when there's a vibrational match between your energy and that potential, now all of a sudden you'll begin to collapse time and space, and you'll begin to draw the experience to you. And now you no longer have to go anywhere to get it. You are the vortex to your creation. So think of it like this. The thought sends the signal out, and the feeling draws the event back to you. So if you're intending on having a future, and you're waiting for the experience to happen so you can feel the emotions of your wealth or of your freedom, of your new relationship, then you're sending the thought out, but you're not drawing the experience back to you. So here's a great example. The HeartMath Institute did a novel study where they took a group of people that were expert prayers, and they set three vials of DNA in front of them. And they said to them, now listen, with all of your intent, we want you to see in your mind the DNA winding or unwinding, and just keep doing, keep visualizing it winding and unwinding. That's the concept of the mind. They did it over and over again, over and over again, and they checked to see if the DNA was changed in any way. And at the end of the experiment, the DNA was never changed. Intention did nothing to affect the DNA. So then they said to them, okay, now open your heart, create heart coherence, and just generate that signal out into the field, and let's see if that energy begins to affect the DNA. At the end of the experiment, they checked the DNA, and there was no change in the DNA. But when they said to those people, now we want you to see the DNA unwinding, and we want you to open your heart and give thanks that it's actually unwound before it occurred. The moment they combined that clear intention with an elevated emotion, more than 20% of the DNA unwound at a remote location. The thought sends the signal out, the feeling draws the event back. Or better yet, as you begin to open your heart and broaden your field, that energy is the handmaiden, or it's the carrier of that thought, and now you can begin to affect the nature of reality. So a fundamental question is, what are you broadcasting on a daily basis? If you finish your meditation and you combine a clear intention with an elevated emotion and your heart is open and you feel connected to the energy of your future, it's your job to maintain that modified state of mind and body your entire day. And if you can, get ready. Something unusual is going to happen in your life. And it's going to come in a way that you least expect, that surprises you and leaves no doubt that it's come from your connection to the field. And you won't be able to predict when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen, because if you're looking to predict it, you're laying down a known over an unknown. You have to live in the realm of possibility in a new state of being. And the moment you say, I got frustrated because of a coworker, I got angry because I was in traffic, and you disconnected from the energy of your future, now you're back to the energy of your past, and don't expect anything to change in your life. So then our job then is to be able to regulate the state with our eyes open as well as our eyes closed. And the side effect of this, when done properly, are those synchronicities, are those serendipities, are those coincidences that are beginning to come to us. And we no longer have to go and get it now. We are now a vibrational match with everything between now and who we are in our future. And now we are collapsing our future and bringing it towards us. Now that I've shown you how your mind can influence your outer environment, it's my hope that you'll use some of this to begin to collapse space and time into a new reality. In the next episode, we're going to discuss the difference between space-time and time-space, so that you have a roadmap in order to create from the field instead of from matter. I'm your host, Dr. Joe Dispenza for Rewired, and I hope to see you in the next episode where you go beyond the ordinary into the extraordinary.
So, that's a really good explanation.
Yeah. So what were your aha moments as you watched that?
Well, it kind of filled in some of the details. Unity calls it the field of pure potentiality. But this is sort of added depth to my understanding of it. And certainly the bit about engaging the mind and the heart, he explained it differently than I've had it explained before, and it made a lot of sense.
Bringing the heart and mind into coherence, into harmony. What about you, Rachel?
I didn't really have any ahas. I did a lot of work with Joe Dispenza, and I've read all his books, and I did all of his meditation, so I pretty have a good understanding of what he talks about and his theories. I just think that they're making some assumptions,
Like what?
like that everybody's got a normal brain, because I don't know if that actually works with a brain like mine. I also feel like I never can quite, like, it's when he describes it, it sounds like it's going to take a long time to get your heart and your brain in, or yeah, your heart and your brain in coherence. However, I know that he's had lots of people that have had like spontaneous healings and things like that. But I guess my question around that is like, what makes some people take longer than others to do that? Because like I said, I was very deep in his work for quite some time, did the meditations every day, did walking meditations, like really submersed myself, and I never saw any changes. So that's where I'm like, okay, is it that my brain doesn't work that way and I have to find a different way of bringing my brain and heart into coherence? Or is it just going to take me longer?
He may not be resonate with you. I did
I mean,
pull
I've
up.
always liked him and it makes
Yeah.
sense to me. And I love like quantum physics and stuff. Like, that's very interesting to me. And I do a lot of research and like I spend a lot of time in that world as well, especially because it's ever changing. So, it's not concrete. And so it's like, yeah, I want to always kind of know what we're on the edge of or the verge of. So I find all of that extremely interesting. But yeah. I mean, maybe just it doesn't resonate in terms of somehow it doesn't compute, but I do like him, and I think what he's saying makes sense. But I just can't seem to, bring it into my reality. It seems like the times where I do manifest things, it's by happenstance, and I can never figure out what it was that I did that created it.
Well, sometimes it's what you did a long time ago.
Right. Or sometimes it is just letting go of the thing because you're not playing with it anymore. And then that allows it to like go do its thing. But,
That's what it always is.
I don't know what I did. Like, if how I let go of it or what I did to create it in the first place, that, or how, and like you said, Gail, maybe it takes so long that then I can't, like, it was so long ago that then I can't put the pieces together. Because I can't s see how it all connected.
I know
So
one
then
of
it's
the things.
like random, it's like random. Then it's like, well, then I can't really control it or do anything with it. So then how is that helping?
What were your thoughts, Gail?
Oh, one of the things that I've heard in Unity is that what is in the manifest world is spent energy. And so trying to fix it in the physical world isn't going to do anything because you need to broadcast out to the future what you want it to be. I mean, you can, but the concept of what we're seeing is spent energy. And so It's what we did a while ago, but we're in
Yeah.
the now, and we can change what we're doing now.
Right. And I get that. Yeah, I understand that we're living in basically in the past. So our life is a reflection of what we've done up until now. Like, I get that too.
So when you do the meditations, the guided meditations, do you feel like your heart, I mean, our goal is to bring the heart and mind into coherence when you're doing a meditation. Any meditation that you're doing, whatever it is, do you feel like you achieve that goal?
I don't really know what that feels like. So how can I say yes or no? Do I feel connected? Yeah, sometimes. Not every time, but sometimes. Do I feel the energy in my body? Yes. But does that mean that my heart and brain are in coherence? I have no idea. What does that feel like? How will I know?
Good question.
Well, when our heart and brain becomes into coherence, we're calm. Our brain's not, going into 50 million different directions. The, how we have the, we know when we're in survival mode that the brain is in the heart are out of coherence, and our heart rate, especially if we're right there in the survival mode, it's not a, I mean, it's like right there happening right now, the heart is racing, then and the brain has all these thoughts that are, trying to protect ourselves. And then when the heart calms down because we're actually safe, but we're still hanging on to the anxiety of whatever caused the trigger of the survival mode, the brain is still going 100 miles an hour trying to think thoughts and find solutions. But because we're not calm, maybe we're holding our breath or we're panting, and so we're still really not getting good breath, good oxygen flow. The brain is not thinking coherently. It's not in harmony. It's not like I know for myself, if I'm sitting here trying to do something and it's not working, my head, my brain starts to feel like it starts to go into tilt because the solutions aren't there. So taking the deep breaths and calming down, not being tense, relaxing my body, taking those deep breaths. If you can move into a state of gratitude, and or being able to infuse love into a situation or people or yourself, whatever it is, that's bringing the heart and mind into coherence. Because if you can't do it, you're in a fear energy. You're not in a love energy. And the heart and mind are out of coherence. They're out of harmony. But when you calm everything down to the point that you can focus and infuse something else with love, then you've brought the heart and the mind into coherence, into harmony.
Okay, well then, yes, then I've done that. I can do that. But the thing is like my brain is always racing. But that's not because I'm necessarily in fear or in survival mode. It's just that's what my brain does.
How often are you out of survival mode?
I mean, like, I don't feel like I'm in survival mode right now.
You're not anxious about anything or frustrated or anything like that right now.
I mean, there's maybe a slight frustration in the background about, job and things like that, but it's very slight. And I would say, like, yeah, when I'm in meditation, then I'm generally not in that place. But in regular life, like that is what my brain does. And then what I've been learning is like, because of this brain, I use stress to motivate. That's what my brain does. Like, I have to have stress to motivate, which then by definition means I'm not in coherence.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's literally the way that my brain can focus. Like, that's how it focuses, is it needs stress to focus. So,
So when you go into a meditation and you're following a meditation, and if your brain needs the stress to focus, are you not able to focus on the meditation unless you're stressed?
No, I can focus on it, but it takes some time for me to relax into it. And there can't be any distractions. Because if there is any distractions, then it'll automatically pull, like just immediately pull me out. Okay. So that's why I like to do them before bed, for instance. But like, let's say I get up in the morning and I have a bunch of things to do that day. Like I have an interview and I have something for my consulting business and I have something else. If I sit down in meditation, then it is much harder for me because my brain will just be like thinking about all the things I have to do. So that's why I like to do the meditations more at night, because my brain is much more calmer then. I'm not thinking about all those things. Although sometimes if I have a busy day the next day, then it might be going there. But generally, I think because my body's also tired, that then I'm able to relax more easily and my brain has been on this all day. And so it's tired. So it's also like, okay, let's bring it down. So that's why I do like to do meditations then the best. Mm-hmm. Like that's when I feel like I get the best out of it and I get the most connection.
So in theory, if you could calm your thoughts down enough to focus on a meditation in the mornings and being able to stop, you know, the random thoughts are going to come in until you're fully immersed into the meditation. But do you feel like if you could do that, that it would make your day flow in a better way?
I don't know. I mean, I can't say that my days flow in a bad way. Like I'm not,
but stress has been
saying it's like, I don't, my day to day life is not bad to me. It's not great. I'd like it to be better. You know, I think we all want that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But like, and because of the gratitude practice and stuff like that, it's like, yeah, I'm not going around like pissed off or angry or upset all day long. Like my days are fine. Mm-hmm. It's just that. And there's many times where like, you know, I can see the difference on a day when I'm in a great mood and I'm talking to people and I have that energetic and it's, you know, things flow easier versus when I'm in a bad mood and things seem to not go as easy and as well, or you run into more negative people and have like those experiences. So I can see that differentiation, you know, but overall, like, I wouldn't say that my days are like bad.
So do you feel like that you're able to sustain the love energy throughout the day?
Sometimes. Yeah, I think those are those days where I'm in a good mood and, you know, I don't let things get to me and it feels like things flow a little easier.
Okay.
But maybe my expectation is just too much. You know, maybe I'm expecting something like, you know, like what he talks about, like some crazy thing that's going to like take me off, you know, and I'll be like, oh, wow, that's crazy. This is totally just landed in my lap. And like that stuff does not happen to me very often, occasionally, but not very often. So like, if that's what we're going for, no, I don't experience that on a regular basis.
Would you like to have that happen on a
regular
basis?
I would love to have that happen, but that's what I'm saying. Maybe my expectation is too big. I don't know. Like maybe I'm thinking it's supposed to be this grandiose thing and maybe it's actually just kind of those little days where things should seem to flow okay. I don't know.
What do you think about that, Gail?
I'm not in my best space these days, so it's kind of hard to think on the big scale. I've been kind of in survival mode for quite a while, just because my physical stress has been bad. So I've had it work in the past. Had not for a while, but I've had it work in the past. But it takes it like manifesting Michael took, what did it take, a year? It took about a year. He had to move across country and get the job where we were going to meet. So yeah, it took about a year. That's my most successful.
And that's
That's
awesome.
a great one, though. Yeah, like that's a great success.
And I know folks in my church prayed me back, and I haven't talked to the person who was the prime mover about at what point did she start, but I signed out of the Pentagon 39 days before 9/11, and I was they prayed me back. I mean, I knew I was going, but the timing was kind of eerie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that could be another thing for me. Maybe it's the patience factor.
Pardon?
So maybe it's the patience factor for me. That could be something else. Like I'm just not patient enough.
Well, the concept of divine timing, it's like, Michael had to be ready to move. There's a whole bunch of things that had to come together.
Yeah, I think that too, a lot of times when they talk about manifesting stuff, they act like it can happen a lot faster than it does, generally, I feel like. So
Well,
maybe
it
that's
can,
where
doesn't mean it will.
exactly. And so maybe that's where I've gotten this idea of like, if I really immerse myself, it'll happen right away. And then maybe I just don't give myself enough time. I don't
Well,
know.
being in that vibration of energy that he's talking about, where you're not, we're not feeling separated from everything, he even talked about, visioning the car and then coming back, and you're the car's not here, so we're feeling that separation, getting into before you start visioning the car. If you're in that, you're moving into that state of gratitude before you even start visioning the car. And then when you get done and you come back, then the especially if you reach that full immersion into the future of having the car, when you come back here, the experience is still there. It's like the car just isn't here yet. It's not like it's way out in the future. It's here. It's just not here yet. Maintaining that feeling of what you want to experience.
Yeah,
It's we
I think his key was that when you open your eyes and you go back into lack.
Yeah. So not doing that, I believe that's it does take practice. It doesn't happen the first time because we're usually so immersed in fear anyway that, everything is a big step. Everything's just a big step. But the more we practice that and stay in that gratitude vibration more of the day than not, where we're not feeling separated from what we don't have, what we don't see, that the bank account's not what we want it to be. Well, every time you see that bank account and it's not what you want it to be, what do you want it to be? And feeling that energy. Some can say, okay, you're lying to, I'm sorry, what was that, Rachel?
No, I was going to say, yeah, I mean, I've done that. There were years when I would write thank you on all of my bills after I paid them and really sit in that energy. And I just never see a difference.
But all the bills got paid.
Yeah, but I was sitting in the energy of more wealth and I didn't get more wealth. It's like, yeah, all the bills are still getting paid, but I don't have any wealth.
And why do you think that is? Do you feel like you were deserving or worthy of having the wealth?
I do now. I don't think that I always did. So I think that was a factor in the
That's a
past.
factor.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a factor. I've
Yeah.
been there, done that. I am
Yeah.
guilty of that. I
With my
understand.
grandmother and the way they acted, and they also had money. So I think as a kid, I just kind of equated like people with money are assholes. You know, I mean that really, because they were assholes and they had money, and yet my Mexican grandparents, they didn't have a lot of money, but and they were the most loving, generous, amazing people. So, I think I made that separation or determination when I was a kid. So I think that was a problem for a long time, but no, I think I've maybe not fully let it go, but I think I've let it go a lot. Like a lot, a lot. Like I'm in the like 80 to 90 percentile.
So what do you think I would?
That's a real thing, because there are a lot of people with a lot of money that are just jerks. But
And
there are a
I've
lot of, but they're the ones you see. There are a lot of people with money that do wonderful things and you don't see them.
Mine went back to a theta healing where it was, if I had money, then I could be like the people who tried to kill Jesus.
Oh,
Because
wow.
the people with money were the ones behind that. And then after I had the theta healing session, then I went and took a shower and I was drying my hair, and I was, I don't know, I was leaned over drying my hair, and I saw this vision of sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to him speak. And I know I was there. And all that pain of what happened was between me and my money flow. My cash flow. It's real. It's a subconscious thing, like you were experiencing, but it is something we can overcome. And I started looking at it, and I would have just enough money to pay for everything. I would never have any more. It was always just enough to pay everything. And overcoming that, it can happen in an instant, or we can drag it out. And we don't drag it out on purpose. It's a subconscious thing going on. Because why would we do that? We wouldn't. We wouldn't. We would make the decision, I am good enough for this. Jesus showed me this. Everybody has this. It's like your own vault where there's all this money. And he says, take as much as you want. Well, I used to, in the beginning, I was just taking what I could hold in my hands. And then I brought a backpack, and then I brought a wheelbarrow, but visioning that feeling, I mean, can you imagine being in that feeling all day long, every day, that you had more money than you'd ever be able to spend? What would that even feel like?
I don't think I can go there.
Could you try?
No,
Could
I
you
think
play with it?
I could play with it, but I think I could. I think I have to take steps to get there because I don't know what that feels like, you know? So I think it would be more like feeling how the safety and the calm of having more than enough. And then once I get there, I think I can start to gradually, go up to like what you're saying, but I don't think I could currently just jump to like, I have all the money in the world.
Well, have you ever thought about what you'd do if you won the lottery? That's kind of a useful exercise.
Yeah, I have thought about that.
Did it feel fun?
It felt fun. It also feels a little bit of what's the word? Like a heavy blanket. Because there's a responsibility attached, right? So I would invest quite a bit of it, would be the first thing that I would do. And then I would take care of some family members, and then I would take care of myself. But if I were to win the lottery, I might do some frivolous thing, like a few frivolous things, but I don't think I would do a lot of them because I have a history of frivolity. And so I think I've gotten to the point where it's like, that's maybe not so smart. So yeah, I think I would do, like maybe an amazing trip, buy a house, buy a car, those kinds of things. And then it would probably kind of stop. And I would honestly go work. Because I wouldn't want to just spend it all.
But would it be
But
fun to think
successfully
about?
indicates that that at some point it ends. So there is still some fear in there, right? Because if there wasn't, then why would I want to go back to work? Why would I be worried that the money was going to go away?
Unless you loved it and you just did it because you loved it.
Yeah, for fulfillment, for enjoyment.
Yeah, but more I think it's because I don't want the money to go away. And I would want to keep, because you hear all those stories about like homeless people or people with, really horrible, no means whatsoever that win the lottery and within a few years they're broke again because they don't know how to manage their money and they just spend, 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 and they don't invest or make any smart choices. So I
That's why
think
you, yeah,
that's
that's
also.
why you need really good consultants.
Right,
A
exactly. So
really
that's
good
what
tax attorney and
Well, thankfully, I have a really good tax guy and he has a load of attorneys. So there I'm good.
okay, there's one problem solved right there.
Problem solved.
Problem solved.
But I do agree that, yeah, attorneys are important, especially when you have money. I feel like that's important to be involved with. But
But
yeah.
back to the feelings, everyday feelings. We want to feel good every day. I mean, otherwise, if we're down all the time or our focus is on feeling better and managing our energy. And how do you feel like you're doing with that?
I mean, I feel like I'm doing much better than I was like a month ago.
Good.
Yeah. What about you, Gail?
Well, today's been a pretty good day, although I'm having some physical sensations that I'm not happy about. But I, this steady diet of Hallmark Christmas movies has really helped. Just it's gotten me out of the angst.
I'm so happy you're doing that. That changes things. You're changing the routine of the stress.
And I've been going through stuff in the craft area and emptied out several boxes, moved some. I cleared out a bunch of fabric so that I can move my back stock of craft things, paper crafting things, into that area. And I've gone through boxes and boxes of stuff that I've weeded out. So that's very hopeful that I will be able to set things up so that it's m more fun and easier to keep track of things in play.
Good, good. We want to
But
play.
I got a couple more letters from the IRS, so I cannot mess around much longer. So I'm
Okay, so
facing that.
when you get those letters, do you feel an adrenaline rush when you see what it is?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I got an adrenaline rush, you just saying
Yeah, me too.
it.
So what do are you able to flush that out of your system, and you are safe, and your body actually starting to feel like you're safe.
This is kind of funny, but I felt very safe when I was with Michael, just because, well, part of it was just the way the relationship was supportive, but I never had that feeling like something from my past was going to creep up and cause disaster that I had in the past. And some of that, unfortunately, came back when he passed. And I really miss that feeling of, like having training wheels or having the balance, the not a not exactly a rudder, but the
You had two sails and now you only have one.
yeah.
Yeah, I fully get that, Gail, because I feel like that too. And I th it is something, I was talking to my stepbrother the other day, and he's gay, and he and his partner have gone through some difficulties. They've been together for 30 years now, and they've recently gone through some difficulties, he was saying, and they really had to kind of like redefine their relationship. And but it's so, you know, just I say that to say it's not, their relationship isn't perfect. But he's also started a business, and he was just saying how difficult he would imagine that it would be for someone that doesn't have the support of a partner. And I think that is what I feel a lot, and I think that's what you're describing there too, is like, yeah, there is a big difference between going through life and difficulties without having that other person. Somehow it does seem to keep you a little bit more upright than when you're doing it on your own.
Yeah.
So, do you feel like you've been able to flush out those that anxiety from the letters themselves? Or are you still carrying it?
I am not aware that that is hanging over me as and it's like this is what I'm physically experiencing has been coming on for a long time, and it just caught up with me. I've had this happen in the past, a couple times, once worse than it is now, but I know what can happen if I don't get it under control right away. So,
Is there anything that you can think of, and I know you have been working toward releasing this, you know, relieving a lot of the stress. Is there anything else that you can think of right now that you could do that you aren't doing that maybe you need support with to do?
that's a good question. I'll have to think about that.
Okay, give it some thought because, you know, if there's anything we can do, we're here to support you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So,
Today
where
I
are
was
you?
wishing I had somebody just to go through my tax stuff and that didn't have any emotional attachment to it.
Do you want to ship all that paperwork out to Arkansas? Actually, you could just bring it, and we'll I'll put the leaves
Yeah, we
back
could
in the
just go
table,
through
and we'll go through it and
knock it all out.
knock it out.
Oh.
That's right. We could do it.
Maybe I should bring you out here.
Oh, yeah, we could do that. You know, we'd want to play. yeah, I took Magic to the groomers on Tuesday, and they had a poodle that was taller than him, but like half his weight. I mean, little guy that needs a new home, a forever home. That was challenging. But, you know, we got to be able to take care of everyone. So, yeah. Well, Gail, give that some thought on anything that else that would help.
Thank you.
You know, step back as the observer, and you know, it's something that we all could do is step back as the observer. You know, every day or two, and look at our lives and what can we do to improve how we're feeling? You know, are we meditating enough to help move us into a higher vibration? Or do we just need to sit and be quiet and focus on gratitude? You know, what is it that we can do that will support us to help us to get to the space of energy, that state of being that we want to be in? Because when we achieve that, and we've all achieved it, it feels so much better than everything else. And we can feel peace and joy and happiness. I know that there are people that they know what anger feels like, but they to grasp the feeling of gratitude or joy is difficult because they've worked so hard at protecting themselves from everything.
The joy can't come in.
Joy can't come in. So the more that we can immerse ourselves in joy, the more we can support everything around us to move into that energy too, and to feel that freedom. I think that that's, it's interesting how one will follow the other, but until you get to that highest vibration, it's like it where they all kind of bring come together. It sometimes it feels like it's a real uphill climb, but it's so worth it. You know, it takes that conscious thought, that conscious decision of, I'm not going to feel like this anymore. The despair, the anxiety, it's eating my life. You know, and I keep using this term. I don't know if it's brilliant or if it's naive, but I keep holding on to that because of what my life was and that how it was affecting my health and that the quality of my life, what it was going to turn into on top of what it already was, to where now difference is a whole different world. And it has taken conscious effort every day. And I know it can, you know, and I'm still human, so I have moments, you know, hours or even days sometimes, but it's so worth it to put ourselves first and do what we need to do for us. And it's that conscious choice of, at least for me, it's had to be a conscious choice of, I am not going to go into that anxiety. What I just learned really sucks and I don't like it, but I can't afford to, you know, afford, I'll use that word afford, to go into that anxiety. I have to choose to be something better, to be something higher. And then I have to stop what I'm doing. And I have the luxury of being able to do that, but I have to remember to do it. I have to remember to do it and be aware of what my energy is right now. Did it go? Did it dump? Is something sucking my energy completely out? Do I need to surround myself with a diamond steel force field? Yeah, maybe I do. And am I safe? Yeah, I'm safe. Nothing has changed really in the last 10 minutes, but I started to take a nosedive and consciously choosing that, no, I'm not going to do that. So I really want to support you ladies to make your choices, make your conscious choices instead of defaulting, because that's what we do when we don't make a conscious choice. And I do it too. I wish I was better at it. But
me too.
You know, continuing to practice and you know, just setting my intention. I'm gonna choose this. I'm gonna be aware of what my energy is. And I know that it's way better than it was 6 months ago. And the difference between 2 years ago does not even compare. Does not even compare, because I can think about what I want to have happen, and it's already happened in, you know, saying it, it's already happened in my head, and I can feel that whole rush of energy, that release of, what is it? Is it dopamine? The love vibration, love energy?
I can
feel it. Can absolutely feel it.
Yeah. But see, that's the exact same thing that my brain doesn't do. It's dopamine. That's where my problem lies. Interesting, isn't it?
Now that's a love feeling. And I know you love the fur babies. I know your cat's name.
You do. It's
Tempo. Tempo.
Timbo's half off the furniture right now too. He's asleep, but he's like hanging.
But
I'm
you
like
love
waiting for
Timbo.
him to just go.
So you feel that.
I do love. I love very intensely.
Yeah.
But there's
So that's
some
not
problem
dopamine.
that I don't know. But that could be serotonin. I don't know. But I know that with ADD, that is the problem. It's my brain. Either doesn't make enough of it, or what I make, my receptors can't take in fully. I don't take enough in. But yeah, then we have serotonin and we have other, feel good hormones too. It's not the only one.
Right. It makes you wonder if you focused, if you went through the guided meditation, whatever it is, into a space of the love, the life force energy connection with the greater consciousness, where you are consciousness, could you heal whatever's not working the way it should
Yeah.
from there? Because Joe Dispenza's research says it can happen.
Yeah, and I believe it can, but I also believe that, yeah, you have to get to that point. And then is it possible for me to get there?
Well,
Do
I
I have
think it's possible
to do
because you've already
differently
talked,
than others?
you've already said that, through meditation that you are able to get there. So
Right.
that's possible.
But am I doing it differently, is what I'm saying. Have I learned? Because, I learned a lot of ways to trick myself along the way into getting me to do the thing I needed to do. Like, for instance, I had to have complete silence when I would study and no distractions, or otherwise I couldn't do it. And it would take me longer to do it than most people. But then when I would get to a test, and I'm a very intelligent person, and I think that's what saved me, honestly. When I would get to a test, my brain would go blank and I wouldn't be able to recall any of the information, but I knew it. So what I started doing as a kid was I started picking at my nails during a test, and that distracted me enough to where then the answer would pop in. So, see, I've been figuring out ways to work around that my whole life, but unconsciously. So, I do wonder if maybe it's learning a different way during meditation for me to make this connection. How do I circumvent the way that things are working in order to make it work for me? And that's what I'm saying about how, like, yeah, he assumes that you have a healthy brain. Because if your brain doesn't do what it isn't normal, and I would think this would probably be the same for like people with autism or OCD, those are neurotypical things that are happening in a person's brain. So if that's the case, like then do we need to do something differently? And if so, what is that? And I'm thinking that that might be it, is like somehow I have to trick myself.
Well, but if you practice it enough, you'll figure out what that is.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. It's trial and error to figure out what works best for each of us.
Right. Yeah. And then sometimes, like, I just have to take a break because sometimes it's so much trial and error that then, and it's not working. It's like, I can't, I have to stop trying for a minute because it's driving me crazy to keep trying. So that is another place where I get kind of caught, where it's like, yeah, you just feel like at a certain point, like I keep hitting my head against this wall. When is this something going to change? So maybe I just need to take a break from hitting my head against the wall.
Figuring out when to, re withdraw and regroup
Well, yeah, I
and
did.
evaluate what has
Yeah.
worked and what didn't work
Yeah.
and what would I like to try now. What and working with your angelic team too to just show you. Just show me what it is I need to do that's going to shift this energy.
That's why I've been so adamant about trying to really get a sense of understanding about this ADD thing and what can help me. And can I get that solution or at least try it and see if that makes a difference? And if not, then it gives me an option to try something else, right? Like what we were just saying. But that's been proven to be a very frustrating path as well, in terms of, now you're talking about dealing with insurances and medical and people who don't take insurance, which is most of them now, who are psychiatrists, they don't take insurance. So, there's all these things that come up. And then I actually did get diagnosed, officially diagnosed as ADD. And I was prescribed medication, but guess what? The medication is on back order and no one knows when it's coming in. So this is the insanity of the path that I'm currently on, where it's like, okay, it's almost comical.
Do you have Costcos in your area?
I do, yeah.
You might look online because sometimes they get stuff that nobody else does.
I'll check. The only problem is I don't have a membership there.
I thought you could use the pharmacy without being a member.
Oh, really? I'll look, because they're not even letting you buy hot dogs and pizza anymore without a membership, so I don't know. But yeah, I'll check that, because
But you
that's all
can
I
search
need.
online and it'll tell you the Costco.com price,
Okay.
if
Because
they
I mean, I
carry.
called CVS, Rite Aid, Ralph's, a bunch of like mom and pops. None of them have it. Walgreens.
Yeah, try just look it up.
Yeah, but I saw Costco on there, but I just didn't even look because I thought, well, you have to be a member. So yeah, I'll look it up and see.
Well, depending on what your copays are, the $60 membership thing might pay off real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. And check Groupon because Groupon has Costco and Sam's Club membership specials a
Oh yeah,
lot.
that's think
Oh,
about.
did you check GoodRx?
Oh,
Oh
then
yeah.
there's that.
Yeah, that's where I went immediately. It was like when my pharmacist said they were out, I went to GoodRx and then I was checking all the different places on there. Yeah. Yeah, but literally it's out everywhere. Like it's just, and they don't know when. I'm like, really? Because it's an amphetamine, and I'm pretty sure people are cooking that up in their kitchen. So why are you not making more of it? Last I checked, people could make it in their kitchen. Just give me the recipe.
Is and that's the best medication that they felt would be for you, the one that would be the best for you.
That's what the psychiatrist did. I mean, I've reached out to him as well and told him what's going on to see if he has an alternative, but he hasn't gone back to me. So,
Maybe there'll be an alternative if you can't get what was recommended or what the prescription is.
yeah,
Maybe.
maybe. So yeah, but it's but that's why I think I was so adamant about it, because I just knew deep inside, like, something is wrong here and I need to fix it. And I don't think that was just me. I do feel like something was pushing me, because it was just so, like, I don't know, I felt very sturdy in that needing to do that.
And it
So.
could be too that since everybody is out of that medication, it could be the angelic realm's way of leading you to a better one, a
Yeah.
better
Yeah,
medication.
that's why exactly why I reached out to him to see, like, is there something else?
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll continue to wait and see, but yeah, I think, and I feel clearer with this understanding, and now learning more about it and things that, it's funny, he actually laughed at me at the end. He was like, you're supporting everything with your supplements and your diet, and like you're doing all the right things. He's like, so this literally is the last piece that you haven't tried. And that was exactly what I had been saying to myself all along, and why I was so frustrated that no one would prescribe it, when it's like all arrows are pointing. Why am I the only one that sees this? I mean, I wasn't the only one, obviously, but it felt like it for a little while. But no, I think there's some clarity.
Friend,
And And so if there's like some light at the end of the tunnel, and who knows, maybe when I take that and meditate, then maybe I can, you know what I mean? So maybe that will be the thing that helps. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we'll just hold the vision that you have coherent thought and bringing your heart and mind into harmony, and you feel better.
I mean, I'm feeling better. Like, just finally getting some, movement feels better. Even though there's still some issues, but. So, yeah.
Good. Making progress. Yeah, you're not all the
Exactly.
way there yet, but making progress.
Making progress. But that feels good, So, that has put me in a better place where it's like, okay.
You're
We're maybe
validated.
not there yet. Yeah, exactly. But we're getting there. We're moving closer. Like things are happening. Okay. So, we'll see.
Wow. Awesome.
You have to go to class.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. Yes, I do. Thank you, Gail. I totally lost track of time. Imagine
Yeah. Okay.
that.
Gail, can you stay a minute? I wanted to talk to you about the church site. Okay.
Okay.
After was it last it was last Thursday, right? It got hacked last Thursday. Or
Our
yeah.
church site that she built got hacked.
Oh my gosh.
Somebody got into the WordPress and deleted all the files.
Are you
Yeah.
serious?
All the files. Took me 2 hours with DreamHost, but we got it fully restored.
Why would they do that?
I
That's
have
so
no idea.
weird.
They deleted me as a user. I couldn't get in. It made no sense
So they
because
want to
they didn't add any files. They just took them all out. And they made two other people that were nameless. It was weird letters and stuff. As users to get in and make changes. I've seen some of the weirdest things being a webmaster. I can't even begin to tell you the stupid shit that people do.
That is bizarre. Why would you
Makes
spend
no
time
sense.
to do that? That doesn't make sense at all.
It doesn't. It doesn't.
I'm so sorry that that happened,
Yeah,
ladies.
me too. That freaked me out, man.
I bet. Oh my God.
But Gail, somebody reached out to Gail and told her, and she let me know as soon as we got off the call.
Oh my
And
God.
I w went in and thank God, DreamHost is awesome. They're
Wow.
awesome.
Well, thank God.
Yeah.
Well,
Yeah.
luck with whatever else you guys need to do. I hope it's, I
Guess
hope.
we better ask the angels to protect it, huh?
Yeah, seriously.
And to protect Rachel on so she gets her class on time.
Will. I will.
Angel
All
time
right.
warp.
Yeah,
Yeah, there you
exactly. All right. Thank you, guys.
go. Take care. Have a good
Sending
week.
lots of
Thank
love.
you. You too.
You too. Right
Bye.
back at you. Bye.